Gamble, everybody. They all went through Arizona and had a pretty reasonable, sympathetic interview. So, Boert says, I want you to meet, now what, I'd be 70-something then. He says, here's a fan of yours, what did I say his name was? Ted. Here's a fan of yours, he'd like to meet you, so, he's a lot older than usual or something. And so we walk. Kara's laughing at the use of terms here. So we walked into his home, and he's looking at this young guy, he perceives young guy, and so he said, oh, nice to meet you. And then he says, Walter, where's the guy? Where's Bob, the 78, 80-year-old guy? And Walter says, this is him. This guy. And he fucking, you know, paradigm shift. Chakra breaks, a couple of chakras collapse, you know, what the fuck? And so I was up against it right away. I had to make a big impression because I think Ted was looking to whether to interview me or not, because Boert said, you got to interview this guy. So I was dialogue with him, and I can be very civil and nice and interesting and normal. So I passed the test, and he arranged for me to come into a studio a couple days later. And it was a good interview, and it was so good we went over and did another hour. And you can see that. It's called Illuminati in the Media. It's pretty good. And so then shortly after, Bob Brown, who ran the International UFO Congress every year, he had one in like March and one in August, and he called up Ted. He said, this guy's good. Let's have him come to the thing. So I got invited to Mesquite, Nevada, in August, and I spoke on August 17th. That's the day we became American citizens. So it was my first time, basically presenting anything in the United States other than cable TV in New York. So I had a big screen behind me. You can see that on the timeline. I had my short pants on. So I laid out a lot of stuff, and then maybe the first questioner was this little black lesbian fuck up. Looked up and asked me a question. But I didn't know she was a black lesbian fuck up at that point. She had probably asked a good question. So Evan, I took questions from Robert Guffey, who did the Matrix articles on me, Randy somebody, what's Randy's, Copang, and Scott Copang. Norris, and my gang came up and asked all the questions, and it was fun. With John Rappaport watching in the background, who was quite well known back then, and I used to go to his talks in L.A. Mm-hmm. So after, Evan said she'd like to interview me, or said she had a radio show. So I remember sitting down in a room, and did you tape me? Did we do a recording?
Yes. It was back then on cassette tapes, man.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I had a little cassette set up.
Sony TC-5000.
Hi-Fi. It was I knew it was a smaller, just one of those really small little things that you'd probably get at Radio Shack.
Right.
Right. So what she did the interview, and she was telling me that she was going to have a radio show someday, or soon or something. But it didn't happen until March. And I remember me being on your show, but when did you play the tape?
It was the first shows that I had.
Right,
yeah, maybe
you played the tapes.
Yeah, I was her first show
coming up. Here, just fill this tape up. Hang on, I got another 45 here. Here we go. Continue, Bob.
Yeah,
I got material.
Yeah, absolutely, man.
Yeah. So Evan, I was her first interview when she started, and somewhere in there she must have played the interview, maybe the week before I came on or something. But I was her right at the beginning. And then that turned out to be her most important interview in the long run.
Yeah. It started the basis and then, you know, kind of fell off. Because, I mean, it started so hot. I mean, when you have somebody claiming, and it was so funny. When I was sitting in the audience, I sat next to this older lady. She goes, do you know who that is? And I'm like, well, no. And she goes, well, that's Bob. And I'm like, okay. And she goes, guess how old he is. And I'm like, well, 45? She's like, he's 80 or something like that. And I was like, yeah, right. I mean, come on. He was sitting there in a Hawaiian shirt, shorts, you know. big glasses and stuff, and then, you know, had you presented those diaries.
Yes.
And you were talking about the Bootians.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Bootians and all of that, and that, like, blew everyone away. That was, people were like, can we have a page of that? Oh, let me touch it.
Yeah, remember
and
Pam, remember Pam the blonde bombshell? What was her, I don't know her last
Dude,
name.
Dude, yeah. She said she was having sex with reptilians.
Yeah, she was a regular on Art Bell. She had sex with reptilians. They had a couple of children.
Yeah. Yeah. And she wanted
She wanted the documents. She wanted the fucking documents, and I arranged to Xerox them and give them to her. I think, let her read them. That's right, I couldn't give her documents. I just let her read them. In the hotel room. Remember they all came back to the hotel room? A whole bunch of us?
Yeah, absolutely. Right, exactly.
Yeah.
You got instant groupies.
Yeah. And then spent the week with everybody going to listening to, remember Larry, the Egyptian pyramid expert?
Yes.
Every night there'd be somebody really had talked or something, so everybody would go to their room. So I got to interact with all these people. They had no idea that I was the guy who built the fucking pyramids, was sitting there among them.
Exactly. So you can let them know.
Yeah, I didn't let them know. Actually, I had forgotten myself. I was reminded later by something called Ion.
Yeah, your hands didn't show any wear and tear.
No,
for sure.
I had Poofter's hand. But see, that's how it started, Michael. I think Michael asked, right? That's how it started.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Right. Mesquite. How I got there is I met this guy named David Serrata. You guys maybe know him. He has a
musician?
Very interesting story. He's this guy who is just really heartfelt for the environment, and he's planted over 1 million trees in Canada, reforestation, da da da. And so he had this out of body experience, and wrote this. We helped publish his book, Face to Face with Jesus Christ, or something like that. It was a really beautiful story. And so, he was like, "Oh, you got to go out to the UFO Congress." And so, I'd been to one in Laughlin before. And then it was in Mesquite. And I think it was never in Mesquite after that. That was the only one, out there. And that's where I met Bob and his
And Evan
his,
ended up being the first mainstream radio that Ion was on.
Wow.
Yeah, that was fun.
That was May 5th or 7th after we had done... You know, that woman who had some kind of weird nowhere station made up of tin cans or something. Remember that kind of technology?
Right.
Rianne.
What's amazing about those...
Rianne,
what's
amazing
about those...
It was Rianne Allen.
Ray Allen.
And she knew Mae Brussel and all that. But what was surprising, because James was on there, and then he brought me back on. On the next time he's on, and then we got talking, we got into mediumship. She knew of Cosmic Awareness and I think the Evergreens, which I'd never met anybody who knew them. So then that opened up, I started telling her about Ion, and then she had us on May 1st. Ion came on after being April 15th on James's as the human Ian, who fucked up at the end and said, "You humans," and exposed that he wasn't human if you were observant. And then we did her May 1st. We did, you can see it on the timeline. We do Evan on May 5th or 7th. Mm-hmm. And then we did Evan again, and we did Evan again. And that's all we did for the summer. We just did Evan.
Yeah, it was, and then some folks started to push back. What's this airy fairy? There's no murder. Little babies that get murdered wanted it.
Evan got flack again. Anytime Bob showed up, she'd have a fucking headache for a week from the effects of it.
Well, that's why I asked about meeting
our
Bob,
duty,
because Evan, you were so relaxed and open and with Ion, I was wondering if you'd had any previous encounters, because that was amazing to see. And those broadcasts have actually been replayed this week on Radio Free Ion.
Huh? So it's appropriate talking about it. Well, she had interacted with Glow in 2003 and 2004.
Right. And I'd listened to some of the, the Evergreens. I think we got to interview Michael.
No.
I think we did.
No,
didn't
he
we?
Didn't. He didn't do public stuff.
Oh,
we
I
just did
I
Dave
tried
Worcester.
To. I tried to.
Yeah, we
Dave
did.
Worcester, that's right, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, but
amazing.
No, Michael didn't come on. You did Arthur Croaker.
Right.
We did Arthur Croaker.
Yes, that's true. That's right. And LaRouche. And
LaRouche, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
What, you had Croaker on your show? And LaRouche?
Yeah, we did it twice.
Oh,
yeah.
Fuck.
Wow.
We did it twice. Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah. Gotta go check
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah, go to the timeline, listen to them. No, in November 2004 and maybe 2005,
it's
November.
Such a great memory.
Cool. Amazing.
Yeah. I was able, and I went to one of the, they actually went out to Lynchburg. What a great word. Lynchburg, Virginia, and he was, you know, to meet with LaRouche and his, you know, band of crazies, and man, they are, you know, but I mean, they are on a mission. Okay.
Yeah, you went there? You're saying you went to Lynchburg?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
What was that like?
Yeah.
And meeting up with them?
It was.
Damn.
Very nice. I've been there,
it was,
Dave. I was there on October 31st, approximately 1988, and what they did, they presented classical music concerts.
Exactly. Yeah, mm-hmm. They had everybody there going through classical music training,
yeah.
Then going and studying Copernicus
yeah.
science, because they believe that classical training by redoing the experiments yourself
yeah.
Brings you, you know, closer to, you know, to how that,
damn.
You know, how that is. And so, yeah, it was interesting. I mean, it was a lot. It was a young crowd, very young.
It's not Lynchburg. It's Leesburg. Jerry Falwell
was in
Lynchburg.
Oh, the Leesburg. No, Lynch? No, no, no. It's Virginia. Lynchburg, Virginia.
No, no. LaRouche is Leesburg. L-E-E-S. And I think Falwell was in Lynchburg.
Okay.
Yeah,
I could have swore it was.
No, it's Leesburg.
Okay. Okay.
And that, I was there in 1988. When were you there? Mid-90s?
No, it was in the 2000s. It was after that I had on, Ted, and I think it was even after I had on Lyndon.
I know, Ted Andromedas. I knew Ted.
Yes, Ted Andromedas.
The Greek guy.
Yes. Yes, exactly. He just contacted me again. He's back at it.
Okay, here's a question. First of all, before the question, by 20 years later, they could have moved to Lynchburg. You may be right that they had moved from Leesburg to Lynchburg. You know? I don't know.
I think they did. Yeah.
So here's
the
thing.
I think they did. The
LaRouche, has not had a broadcast on their website up in 2 years. They keep just posting the May 14th something, you know, Bowart's birthday, 2014. That's all they've had for 2 years. So Ian tells us that LaRouche was murdered a few years ago.
Hey.
And they have a double.
Uh-huh.
Oh yeah, yeah, this has been Bob knowledge for like a year or so now. And that the LaRouche that you don't see him because he can't do it that well, he's a double. They have a double.
But who would kill him and why?
I don't know. I don't think I asked Ian who killed him.
Who do you think would, Bob?
Somebody.
His wife.
Yeah, his wife. There was. No, <good. laughs> Carol knows from experience.
She finally couldn't take any more.
Well, they did have a problem, Carol. There was a problem between them. Remember, I may have sent you that document, Evan, now this would be, you know, Dennis, the guy who did the book on LaRouche, Dennis somebody, he runs an ongoing investigation of LaRouche people, and he has all kinds of interesting defectors documents. Well, let's say maybe 3 or 4 years ago, a lot of the younger people, which is all he has now, younger people, one of them became a girlfriend of LaRouche. And the rest of them were pissed off about this. It wasn't smart. This old guy, you know, started to seduce this young LaRouche, and Helga didn't like it. So this document, inventories, goes through all the details of the factional fighting in the LaRouche organization. And it must have been, 4 or 5 years ago. So if I could find it, I'll send you that. And you see all the details, and there was a big defection. And then you started seeing the girl that was being seduced by him started to be a regular on their TV broadcast. So that would be 2013, because he finishes, the last one's 2014, so it has to be the year before. She's like the host on there being, sucking up and asking, interviewing LaRouche. And, she was the one that was favored by him. So where, I keep going to Dennis King's site to see where's the latest stuff. There's no new stuff. There's, you know, I want to find out who, what the defectors are, what happened. What are they saying at the LaRouche organization? Are they still around in the post office and that, Eben? Have you seen them?
No, I haven't seen them down on the ground or, you know, at any of the marches. They, you know, they weren't at the march in LA and things like that. But Ted, you know, rang out. And so I know that they're still, you know, they're still around in whatever form, they can be. But man, I mean, what a story. I mean, how many dynasties, men and all this stuff or things, catastrophes have happened because of the phallus. I mean, really. He was doing such important work, and
Anthony Weiner.
And people get very disappointed when
Weiner.
And he was only photographing it, you know.
Yeah.
He was just a Snapchatter.
But what were you saying? What was your theme here, Eben? You're saying how many phalluses became great? What were you saying?
Just how many great empires, great people, etc. Lose it.
Yeah.
Because of the phallus. I mean, it's really, I mean, how sad for all of those that have looked at him to, you know, be a stalwart of
He was
integrity.
From 2014 back to 2012, I'd watch occasionally his talk, and he was stumbling a lot. He wasn't articulate anymore. His brain froze, and he would have to every three syllables. So he was not an effective speaker anymore, and that could have been the double in retrospect.
Well, I always ask Ted, why are you continuing? There's this guy, Harley.
Yes. Harley Schlanger. Harley Schlanger.
Yeah, Schlanger, right? Yeah. Out of Texas. Super, you know, fantastic guy, but his wife got cancer, so he had to pull back. But
supplement.
Yeah.
He did not only pull back, he's on Dennis King's side exposing LaRouche. He defected. And it's been, her, who was a main guy for many years.
Really? Main guy? Wow.
Yeah.
And so what is he saying about LaRouche?
He's talking
what
about the corruption and the control and what happens to young people. I haven't looked at it in a long time, but it was pretty bad. And he talked about how when I visited them in 1985, I went to Washington, went into their office, and, this guy comes running out, and he quickly attaches a tape recorder to the phone, and I'm the only one in the office, and it's the front office, and he doesn't have time to look at me, and he hooks the tape recorder up, and he gets on the phone, and he starts interviewing somebody. So I had to wait until he finished, and then we talked a bit, and he told me to go up to Leesburg. But that was Harvey Schlanger. That's where I first...
Harvey Schlanger.
Yeah, and so he was the main guy at the EIR office. And then he would run for government in Texas. He said, and I timed it, for years he was trying to leave. He didn't believe in the LaRouche thing anymore. So I saw him when he was faking it, you know, when he was trying to figure out how to leave. So he does a long article for a mainstream magazine or something about that. Oh, no, he writes a local Leesburg newspaper. He has a column, and that's where he exposes... Whatever LaRouche does, whatever scandals, remember that kid in Europe got killed, and he investigated whether that was a murder or not, and so he was the main guy for Dennis King to put new news up about exposing LaRouche.
Wow.
So did you finish about Schlanger? What happened in your experience with him?
Oh, no, I was just saying, I was just always wondering and asking them why they didn't find a replacement for LaRouche.
Right.
He was, you know, when even way back then in Lynchburg, seeing him, he wasn't as dynamic, et cetera, and there was a lot of youth around him, and there were, and there were his lieutenants that could have stepped in and really galvanized and modernized.
What did he say? What was his answer?
They're like, no, he's the figurehead. It has to be him, you know? Nobody can replace him. It's
right.
He's built this from the ground up. It's about him.
That's right. And it's the same thing with the coach, Arthur McLuhan. They couldn't have anybody succeed.
Right.
It was just him. Mae Brussels, everybody at the Holy Offices on my chart are like that. So he couldn't replace Zappa, couldn't replace Dr. Beter. So here's what I noticed or had access to. In 98, Mark Stallman and I met, and we started to have a salon at his loft on 36th Street, West 36th Street. 36th West 20th. So he had been LaRouche's bodyguard, one of his bodyguards in the 70s, and had done a lot with the LaRouche organization. So he decided to get Jeffrey Steinberg and forget the guy's name.
Steinberg,
but,
right.
Yeah,
right.
Who's another main guy, main, yep. Really main.
Good author, good writer.
Really great researcher.
Yeah. He
good researcher, intelligent. He did the ER Intelligence.
Yeah, yeah, he was the main guy.
Yeah.
And Mark, let's see, he spoke in New York on November 94. And I went to it, and I was just beginning to be known by them and going to their events. And after, I gave him Wired Magazine's big article on Stuart Brand and Peter Somebody's business council. Forget what they were called. They had a consultant because they were the leading edge of the Wired world. They were getting hired to advise corporations about all this Wired world. And it listed all the members. So I said, Jeff, look at this magazine. I showed him all the people. I think he knew a little bit about Stuart Brand. So he did get a bit of what I'm saying. He said, this is who you're up against now. These guys are the Andy LaRouche British intelligence people. So he looked at it. He goes, holy shit. And I saw him walk off because we were in Midtown going to Grand Central Station as he walked down the street. Within, that's November 94, Gingrich becomes leader of the Speaker of the House in January 95. And there's Jeffrey writing an article in the EIR exposing the Alvin Toffler Gingrich links to the Wired magazine people. So they used that fucking information I gave them to build up a case for the next 5 years. That's all it was, an article in Wired magazine. And he wouldn't have known about it unless I gave it to him. So,
wow.
So that's 94, 95. So now I meet Mark in the spring of 98, and we form a group with George Soros' secretary. This is what's interesting. George Soros' secretary, Mark, met her at some Columbia University thing, interested in her in McLuhan, so she came to our salon. We formed a salon around her and her friend. So by November, I think it was Abby Hoffman's birthday, which I think is November 30th, in 1998, Mark decided to get back in touch with Jeff, who he knew in the 70s, bodyguards together, and he gets the other guy who ran the printing factory that published all LaRouche's stuff. He'd be the other main guy, but he'd be behind the scenes. He's making the medium, all the literature and everything, all the pamphlets and newspapers and magazines. So the two of them came up, and I presented the thesis to them that the two greatest economists of the 20th century were Harold Innes and Lyndon LaRouche. And so we started to have a dialogue. And pretty quickly, Mark got fed up with Jeff or something, bored, so he goes off on the, starts to answer his email, so that distracted that. It was me and Nelson and Jeff and the other guy. So we spent a couple hours, and I was trying to do it, but they couldn't take it in, and they just went up top with themselves. So, then we went out to dinner, and we had some interesting, information about the LaRouche world from those two. So it just ended up me learning about them. They could not handle the Innes thing. So, within 6 months or so, 99 to 2000, Jeff Steinberg, Mark goes down and visits Jeff Steinberg and his wife who he knew, Michelle. And he finds out that, LaRouche had a heart attack. And they didn't know whether he was going to live or not. So there was a battle between the Jeff Steinberg Leesburg wing and the European Leipzig wing, wherever Helga lived. She had some whole scene in Europe. So they told Mark about this battle in the LaRouche world, because he's going to be dead soon, and who's going to take over? And this is before, okay, so then LaRouche didn't die. And he recovered, and I guess he got wind of all this and fired everybody and decided to start recruiting all over again with young kids. And that became the LaRouche Youth Movement. So then in 2002, when Nelson and I are doing the radio show at Mojo in Toronto, we interviewed Jeffrey Steinberg. And, after a while, because I was asking picky questions or whatever, he started saying, you're a baby boomer, Bob, and you guys are useless. And this was the whole line LaRouche had put out, that the baby boomers had failed LaRouche, and he must now go to the young kids. And he successfully pulled this off. He restarted the cult, and all these young kids came in, including that girl that he was seducing or trying to. And so Jeff went off on me as a baby boomer, and I informed him, well, I'm not a baby boomer. I'm a generation before that. But I knew a bit about what had happened, so I argued he didn't expect me to know what the game he was playing, because Jeff Steinberg was the only guy among the baby boomers who survived the transition. So here he was, when would that be, 2002, 10
well,
years?
Well, and Ted, too, or maybe Ted was later. Yeah.
Yeah, he'd be in his 50s or something, late 50s. He adopted the new line, even though he's a baby burger, that the baby burgers totally fucking blew it. And Jeff was still running the EIR, you know, and doing the stuff that the young kids probably couldn't do. So he managed to survive the transition. I don't know where he is today. You'll have to look up the EIR, see if he has some articles. But he accused me of being a fucked up baby boomer.
Didn't they say Trump was a British agent?
Say who?
Trump is
I posted that article. Oh, yeah. Everybody's a British agent.
Exactly. Here comes another one. He did not deviate from the paradigm.
Yeah, for 40 years he'd say, okay, here comes another one. This guy will cause World War III. That's been the same line for fucking 30, 40 years. Yep. Whoever shows up, nuclear war in 6 months. He said it during He said if Hillary, this is his statement after the election, if Hillary had gotten in, we'd have nuclear war within 6 months. That's what he was saying the other day.
Didn't they trace Trump's blood back to the Queen or back to, you know, the Windsor?
Hey, that's a good point. That could be why Ion says, Trumpdom has some oligarchic psychic flavor to it. So I have to ask that. And maybe that's why he put, you know, Balmoral Palace and then Trumped them. You know, he
didn't
put them in
King
with the
George?
Rest of them.
Didn't he mention King George?
What about King George?
In relation to Trump, Ion.
No, he never has gone into the legacy. No one's ever, okay. I don't know of anybody who did it. I didn't do it. But that's a new question.
Yeah. I saw that somewhere. It was, you know, newsflash. Just like every, you know, I think what, did Obama's, Obama went
That's
back
right.
to, some of the, I forgot where Obama's
went Someone
famous
back, in Ireland
yeah,
or
that
something.
There's something. Yeah.
Hey, do you
right,
know,
exactly.
they, you know, Trump went on about the birther. He's like a leader. Do you know that Ian says that Obama was born in Indonesia outside Jakarta? Do you know that? Evan.
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
Yes.
So
yes,
Trump was
exactly.
right. Trump with his special intelligence, whatever, he basically figured it out. And he knew it was real.
The parliament life?
What?
Yes. Well, you're absolutely right. I mean, I think that's, but he didn't know the country, or does he have his own intelligence, or is that Breitbart feeding him, or what?
I don't know, but he got inspired to lead the thing, as part of his bad past, mistaken past, he may have known something through his own sources, but he got the country wrong, Kenya, I guess, Kenya.
Yeah.
But nobody knows it's Indonesia. Only Ion knows that. And, of course, you can't prove Ion, so we have to discount what Ion says. He's not fucking – he brings up shit nobody can prove, so not useful. We've had a problem, Evan, with this source. Our secret source is not verifiable.
Yeah, producer witness.
But we put up with him. He's a good talker. He fills up airtime, so we take it. We've heard that we've had some exaggerated stories from him. Very exaggerated. So but what were we talking about? So Trump was he might have known, and he's a birther, and I don't know about Trump.
Well, why
himself.
Did he back down? He would make these big statements, of course. He was like, who was the guy on TV?
He's like me, Evan. He couldn't remember what he had said, so he'd just say whatever he felt like saying today. Like he comes out.
Yeah.
He's doing a press conference. Yes, I'm now going to tell you, after considered research, I have decided that, yes, Barack Obama was born in the United States. There he goes, what the fuck is that? What a fucking liar. You know, they
actually, it was funny, his follow-up line. And now I can put to rest the rumor that Hillary started.
That's what he did say. That's right. He blamed Hillary.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Double down. Freaking German. It's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, it has been. The new Republican or the new architecture, don't talk about yourself, just point, just talk about them. That's all like the, this, that media does. Never says schnee about them, doesn't have to answer it, just turns it around. It's projection, this projection kind of system.
You're saying Trump turned around what the media did?
No.
No, I'm saying that the media, starting with Fox News, Roger Ailes, Sean Hannity, they created this dialogue that had nothing to do with solutions, but just with like character assassination. And it works.
I've been posting a bunch of articles. I think you've seen some of them, Eben. One of them recommends that the left create an alternative, do Fox News, make up shit, and just go after Trump day after day,
right,
like the Fox did with
absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I know they want to do that. I don't blame them. I don't blame them. I mean,
they got to keep typing. But you realize it's good. Some of these articles are pretty, they show an aspect, and that's good. Then one of them was they pointed out that Trump realized that there was no content in the media, so he could say anything, and as long as he kept being brazen, he would get charisma. He figured out to be the exact opposite of what respectable communication should be in the campaigning. So he realized the world had flipped, and you lie, you make up shit, and your audience will like you. And so the journalists couldn't fucking believe it. It obsolesced their role. Now their only solution is to go with Trump, be like Trump, and make up shit, make a network, be like Fox News, and make up crap every day about Trump. But I don't think it'll happen. We're in a new world. There's no TV possible. No, you're not unmuted. We're never going to unmute you, Gene. You have
morning,
too much
Bob.
Stuff on me. You can blackmail me any day.
Too much stuff? What?
Yeah, see, it's easy to throw Gene just gets thrown, takes everything literally or something.
Yeah, dang it. Now I'm going to lose what I was going to say. Oh, what I saw Trump doing was flaunting what was already happening. You know, there was already bullshit made up on both sides, liberal and conservative, and all that stuff was going behind on behind the scenes if you didn't
see
it.
He knew it was a post-information society, Gene. And he knew you could say anything, and because it was post-information, no one would remember.
Yes.
You just have to show up the next day and say another outrageous thing. And then that will be forgotten. That's all you had to do.
Somebody told Trump that communication was already obsolesced in the political
game. No one told him. He listened to me. He listened to our show. Because his daughter was into our show and eventually got him on the drops. But Ivanka is the one who discovered it. Ivanka made him elected. She got him on the drops and got him to pay attention to Bob. He probably went back and listened to the famous 8 months, 9 months with James, my seminars, the 9 months of seminars just before I had showed up.
He
studied them royally.
As much as Bird has.
Yes. But, yeah. He was clicking, listening 24/7.
When you were talking about the obliteration of culture, liberalism and conservatism, the whole political arena, we're watching it just deteriorate away, that culture.
Yes.
None of it.
All information.
Anymore.
What? Dave has had great fun the last 3 weeks reading the comments. It's like very entertaining watching everybody be uncivil and insult each other and be ridiculous. That's social communication. Mm-hmm. That's where we've gotten.
Right. Even the word attack.
Why though? Why
has
is
new
that?
And different meanings.
Why is that?
Because it can be done. The people's unconscious, the rage can be done, and you're safe. Nobody can go beat you up. You know, you can just...
If you wrote a letter to a newspaper, you would be so careful how you wrote it, because you know they're not going to print it unless I really get it
exactly.
right. Now you can just go, hey, fuck you.
Right.
Jump on, jump right on the TV, just squeaking, "Fuck you, sir! Can you be quiet down?"
Right,
no.
Exactly. And Dave, I always lived on the leading edge. I had good training in that world because I'd been on All Slack since 1994. Where that was, where that All Slack was that before
the,
anybody else was.
Yeah, the dynamic. Yeah, and they were good at it. Like, they brought the insult to, like, you know, "Yeah, I just got home and I ate a couple of these chili enchiladas and I'm going to take a shit that's going to make a sprain ring all around my toilet, which reminds me of your
gonna
brain."
Yeah, and I'm going to make sure I shit on Marilyn Manson's fucking face. You know, they are incredible. And so I'd walk into the hornet's nest every other day and 20 people would pound on me. No one's ever been, you know, insulted, attacked as much as I am, other than Donald Trump.
Hey, talking about bringing it to that level, you look at, like, films like Bad Grandpa, right? And they take this kind of absurdist, you know, physical humor to an extreme. And, like, in Bad Grandpa, they're sitting in this cafe, and Johnny Knoxville gets up and says, "God, I really got to take a dump." And there are people in the restaurant, and he gets up, and he does a shart on the wall.
Ooh.
And everybody looks, and then turns around and continues to eat.
Waitress, you want to get that?
Yeah, exactly. Everybody turns around and continue to eat after that. And there's a huge brown mark right on the wall.
God.
And so it's... You know, I don't know. So,
I didn't see that film, but that's pretty funny.
Like it's gonna get, you need to see that film.
Well, that's
hey, Evan,
that's happening for real. That's happening for real in China, because in the gaming cafes in China, there are people that go in with buckets, and they sit on their buckets because they don't want to leave the game they're playing, and they just do their stuff in the cafe. And that's going on already, so.
What?
You know.
Wow.
Ooh.
Well, that's bringing it to a certain level of intimacy. That's really interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, wow, that everybody watch what you eat.
But it just shows that the meat stack is secondary in the whole thing.
No, that's great.
What
I'm thinking. But the meat stack's coming back.
Liberals think that
that's what I didn't answer, Evan. I get to have the mic again. I got something to tell you. But before that, if I'm on the McLuhan forum, if I want to find a quote that I typed up from McLuhan's books, I go to Alt Slack, put in a few phrases, and up it pops. My whole archive of McLuhan and all kinds of stuff is in the Alt Slack's archive. That's where I go. That's my library. I go over to Alt Slack. Nice. I put in Bob Dodd's McLuhan prophecy. Up comes a couple of quotes that I typed out. So it's all there. That's where it's kept.
Okay, nice.
The fake anti-Semites, the fake perverts, the fake everything is on there. I mean, staying them couldn't take it anymore. They left and formed a secret, you know, private group. And it's just all hell on Alt Slack now. I mean,
really?
Anyway, So if you look at my chart,
to return
Eben,
to return you to Eben's question, two weeks ago you made a statement that you thought Trump entering the White House would cause a return of people to the chemical body. So you never got to explain what you meant by that. But I think that's related.
Yeah, another whack job statement. I was just typing to bring up shit. Ian was not around.
Now we're calling on you. We're calling you on it.
But I got an answer now. I can fit into what I was going to say. So if you look at the tiny note chart, you got the LaRouche quadrant, McLuhan, Thompson, and Croker.
Yep.
Then the Dobbs quadrant is not called homeopathic satellite or homeopathic TV. It's called anthropomorphic physical. So it's AP. Now, what I mean by that is the human being projects that the world has something to do with him. He'll project on animals, trees, nature, human ideas or something. So humans project that there's a human world at the core of nature and their experience. So the Dobbs quadrant is talking about after 2000, when the Y2K led nowhere, so it was a fake Armageddon and nothing happened. which the Evergreens told me was going to be, so I was ahead of that because I had the Evergreens to help me on that. So I predicted all that. And then what do you got? You got, it's the beginning of the post-information society. So you only have people's physical bodies, they think. And it's defined by literacy, the way science says you're made up of the genes and the chemistry and the bones and the skull and your skin. So that's what people think they are. But what was sneaking up on them was Web 2.0, which would make you surf over all major media, all information, and it's in the palm of your hand, and you're bigger than the media. So I called that the new AP. The old AP, back to the chemical body, and that was the 911 was part of that. This guy comes out of the cave, a caveman, and he has a couple of knife switches and a couple of cell phones, and he knocks out the whole military power of the United States with this caveman technology. That's the old AP. The new AP, and I would say, there's something new coming, because I learned that from Cosmic Awareness. Something new that no one had ever experienced before. So I said, okay, there's got to be a new AP, and that's what I represent. And I represent the Hexatic, the new AP. So the new AP was the fact that you could be bigger than the chip body and the TV body. It's all shrinking. It's called holopathic, which is the hologram getting homeopathic sizes. And, oh, by the way, the AMA is on a campaign. Carol's going to blog about it, or already did. They're going to outlaw homeopathy. That's what's coming.
Ooh.
So the shrinking of the hologram by mixed corporate media gets smaller and tighter and more powerful, and you are bigger than that. If you think your body is what you are, then you have this little thing that's in the palm of your hand, and that's a lot bigger or a lot powerful, a lot tinier than a TV setup. Or a stereo setup and all the stuff that people had in their media rooms since the 60s. So the inflating of the AP into new proportions is not recognized. So everybody thinks that they're going back to their chemical body. So a lot of what happened, the social changes where jackasses came in, where they would fucking, destroy the chemical body in weird China tests, stick stuff up their bum and all that. So that was one version of the AP coming back. Another thing was in the music industry, touring became mandatory. You had to start performing in person because everybody got the stuff for free digital, so the companies could only make money out of tours. So Dave's buddies, Broken Souls, they die touring for 2 years, wear themselves out. That's the old chemical body coming back, and people intuiting, the discarnate body, the TV landscape has shrunk, we're bigger than the media, and that's starting to happen around 2003, 2004, which is when Dave's album came out. They are feeling bigger than the media, but they think it's their chemical body. What they see is bigger than the media. They don't know that what's bigger than the media is a mixture of the chip body, TV, chemical and astral, and maybe something else. That runs the show for 5 years, and then Ion shows up to reveal the mystery body and the unfolding of the mystery landscape. So who is present during the AP phase? A fucking guy who doesn't consume any media. He just winks, and he wins the debate by winking, bypassing Gore's chemical... digital knowledge, digerati knowledge. So Bush was the president for the retrieval of the old AP, and the hidden ground was the new AP, which I was working on, and Ian came up to, showed up to realize it. So in general, people, the longer trends, these waves of trends, they take longer to do their course. That's what you're seeing, Evan, is people feeling bigger than the digital body.
Yes, that's I think it's really it's interesting, because I know that they were talking about how the new generation isn't having sex anymore, because it's all through porn on the internet. A lot of the millennials aren't relating in that way, and now robots are coming in to take care of that kind of need.
Yeah.
Or virtual sex. With the goggles.
You can have sex. You can still be in your room. Now, sort of like extending masturbation to two people can do it together.
Right, but now they're talking about robots, actual.
Right, yes, really lifelike ones that'll like respond.
Exactly.
And they'll get to know what you
mean
like.
You have sex with a robot. Is that what you're saying?
Westworld.
Yeah, exactly.
But a real lifelike one, like a mannequin that's like alive and like the mouth moves and it talks to you and responds to what you say.
That's Westworld.
Right.
That's the TV show Westworld.
Yeah. I haven't seen the show, but that kind of thing, exactly, like Android. Yeah.
Well, that'd be interesting.
I know, then you sleep with them, and they're like your bed partner. What did you dream last night, baby? I had my Android dream.
I got to go to Japan to get some?
Yes.
No, they deliver to you.
The huge market there, but 35% of the people have never had sex.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, where do you get these? Are they available?
Almost.
They're coming up a new generation. Now, they have ones that don't talk, but because AI is coming up, they're going to merge that in these little flesh pots that you can program them, kind of like what you saw with her.
Yeah.
You know.
This is the next
all of that
big
so,
thing. Or yeah. in.
Well, you remember? Yeah. Do you know? I call Ion artificial intelligence. We've had contact. It's Ion. It's the artificial intelligence that people are trying to manufacture.
Yeah,
that's important.
Hey, remember in the Wild Palms, I know it's a bit of a diversion from what your statement said, but remember in the Wild Palms, they would have sex with, like, the holograms, and if they took that drug Mimazine, it would make the holograms appear, like, to have real sensations.
Yeah, I'm going to get one of those robots and take me a big dose of restructure and RNA.
Yes.
I won't be able to tell the difference.
I'm going to do a whole bottle of Rebob in one fucking guzzle.
right.
You're
going to have to. The worst thing. The thing is that you have to clean it afterwards. That's the deal. So.
No, I got made to do that. I got paid.
Yeah.
We have a good relationship. I don't hide anything from them.
Oh my god.
What were we talking about? I don't know if we finished it. We're talking about the new AP and then the breakthrough of Ion, who's giving you the expanded AP. You're going to be immortal with a body that's not limited to the 3D visual thing you can see. That's the Ion message. So that's the new AP. And if you don't know that, you fall back to the old AP. Anthropomorphic physical.
Got it.
And it means actually when you get five bodies, you don't, you're a consciousness. You're whatever that basic human thing is, and you're looking out at all the different worlds and making it seem human. And then the Ion flips in the tetrad, flips into the post-human. That's where you don't even bother being anthropomorphic physical anymore. You just be a snake or whatever form you want to be.
Bob.
That's exciting.
I have to bow out. I'll check back in a little bit later, but I appreciate the community, and I will tap back in soon if you guys are still there. Thank you so much.
Yeah, try to come in.
So good here.
Yeah. Worked up. Make good radio. So insult us again next time you come in, Evan.
No more, Mr. Nice Guy.
Yeah.
That's right, man.
It's a Trump world.
I'm going to go get it.
It's a Trump Leo world, man.
That's what I... I got Trumpetized.
Yeah.
I got Trumpetized. I'm going to come in and be rude to him.
Evan, just before you go, there's a thing. What'd you just say you got? What? Trumpetized? And I recently said it was prestrumptuous. And someone else, I'm telling you, Trump is working into the language. It's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, he's the environment.
And his real name is Frump, anyways. Why doesn't he go by his real name Frump?
It's too frumpy.
I have to ask Ion that one. That's a question for Ion.
Okay. All right. Love you guys.
Okay, bye.
See you soon.
Bye.
Hey,
bye.
Good night.
Hey, should I play, we got another hour or so. Should I play, I think it's about 10 minutes of Howard Stern reacting to Trump running for president? Do you want to hear that?
Sure.
Yeah,
it sounds
it's
groovy.
It's also him reacting to the election. It's pretty interesting. Him and Robin and his crew there freaking out about this, you know.
Cool. Hey, I'm gonna flip over to the speaker, so I'm gonna hang up my phone here, and I'm gonna put up my laptop again and just run the show on the regular air. Rockin'.
Okay, someone came in anonymous. Who's that?
It's me.
Still around?
Now it's me.
Yes.
You just unmuted
me. Did you miss a lot?
No, I was listening.
Oh, okay, good. All right, so we bring up Howard Stern. Let's see. Howard Stern reacts to Trump winning the election on November 9th. So bring up the Soundflower. Does anybody want to say anything while I'm doing this? Gene, we never heard Gene. What was Gene's fucking issue?
Yes.
Did that get talked about?
I want you to finish up. Yeah. Earlier you said that the astral body and the chemical body were the original bodies. Or,
yeah.
I don't know.
First nature.
Yeah.
First nature. And that's the idea that God created our world. That's before Ion, who said we did it. But I didn't know about that. So I thought something made the world that we fit into. Or grew into, or grew out of.
And then
that's first nature.
We kind of created the other two. The other two in the...
Yes, the first two are made by God, and we made second nature.
And now we're kind of coming around again. It feels like the tetrad, where they're merging and enhancing. Like, now we're coming into some sort of recognition or realization of it. Maybe it's just... Those of us that listen to you.
Well, you'll see on my chart, in my charts I talk about cliche to archetype. Then back again, holopathic cliches.
Yeah.
That's the interaction of cliche archetype is the definition of consciousness. So the flipping of the cliche to archetype process is a key part of McLuhanism and a key part of my chart. So what did you say to make me say that? Did you mention the word archetype or cliche?
That it felt like the tetrad, that we were enhancing our own.
Oh yeah, the tetrad. So you take the four part of the tetrad and reduce it to the dialectic of cliche to archetype. In the pentadic, that's, the Android means shorthand.
Okay. And now it's all coalescing in some way into the superhuman five body.
Right. Ion says, in the end, the chip body merges with the chemical body.
And that's happening on an individual level in a way that you described angel to super angel.
Right.
And it has to do with realization or recognizing it, knowing. That this process that you put us through, Bob, is our own awareness of that, what we're already doing. And it takes you to, another level and another level. And you can describe Trump's campaign in the same way. That's that definitely exhibited the awareness of what was already existing. And he could use it when he was aware of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I remember the first time on the show here, I played a Trump video of a talk like last March, and I was reduced to tears on the floor because I'd never heard him before, and I couldn't believe that he wasn't finishing sentences. It was so Bob-like or something. It was quite an ecstatic experience watching him do his ridiculous talks.
So I could sum it up by saying the liberals think there's still a real conversation going on.
Yeah.
In the political arena and campaign.
That was Hillary's problem. She was believed in, as McLuhan should say, she believed in her blue world. She was trying to tell people something. Trump sabotaged any telling he was doing, which was the right move.
Yes, and now they're dumbfounded. They're absolutely dumbfounded. But they've been trying to perpetuate the meme of any intellectual conversation or educational that helps anyone decide on who to elect. In the media.
Well, that's all the yuppie can do. He evolves to an information position. It's a slack job. You'd be a consultant. You teach. You do in the soft information world, typing or teaching. That's the white race's salvation. And it's run its course. They just got wiped out by a new effect. that we don't need any teaching, any nothing from anybody. You're on your own, and there's lots out there to keep you comfortable or comforted.
Now, in the early mornings after the morning hours after the election, I was listening to What Youth, catching up on What Youth, and then exploring the links, and I went to Twitter. That was the night that somebody showed you how to get to Twitter. And I read a quote that Trump had said years back that if he were going to run for president, he would run as a Republican. He said, that's where all the stupid people are. You can say anything and I'd still get elected.
Oh, that's interesting.
So.
Yeah, he's a man of destiny. He was like me on CKLN saying all the stuff that turned out to be, predicting Ion. He was doing it in his crude, you know, vulgar culture way of miming his future.
Right. So the conservatives represent the, you know, the stupid, bumbling country idiot who will say anything out loud, whether they would follow through with what they say or not, is questionable. You know, but that, you know, they'll make bigoted comments, racist comments, whatever. They think they know everything and know how they would run the country. So Trump took that and appealed to all of them. And now he was elected. Now everybody's going, what the fuck is he actually going to follow through?
What's he going to communicate in a post-information society? Well, what's even the role of the White House?
Well, that makes me wonder. Maybe there, I mean, you know, this would be the only circumstances in which a president might actually be able to affect change is with you and Carolyn and JW and I on in the background.
Yep. The, I had something to tell you. What are we talking about? AP, Trump, not finishing his sentence.
The liberals, the deterioration of liberals and conservative culture. No conversation going on.
Remember, it's a collapse of right, left, center. All those that have a message.
Yes.
The kids have been living in a messageless world for 10 years. You know, that's why they have nothing to say on the AP level. They want to experience the AP, but they don't have to, so they just watch their chip body while they go to the concert, to some arena. And then they bounce around real simply, not very imaginative dancing, they just satisfied to bounce up and down.
Yes.
You know, not very skillful kinetically.
And now we're going to watch everybody recognize it. Now we're going to watch people starting to recognize, oh, my God, there's no more conversation.
Yeah.
This is over.
Damn right.
That's
and it all will
fun.
Point to Dobbstown. I mean, we're the only ones who can explain it. We can do it in an entertaining way. We can do instructive commercials that Roxy makes, hour-and-a-half infomercials with very good editing. We got that covered. Any level of engagement
we
provide. What?
And we can attack people with the best of them.
Yeah. Boy, we got whole new levels of attack paradigms. You'll never live again. What would be it? Since everything's already happened, you'll never fucking already happen ever again, buddy, in this town. I already fucking beat you up. You've already been killed. I did it. This is 3 years ago.
You'll never
because
fucking.
Because I could, and you didn't know that you already were
happened.
Happening.
You'll never fucking already happen.
You'll never be a neutrino ever again. So,
when one considers the impact of Ion's arrival since 2009, that moment can be considered an EMP because Ion said, I heard him say this week, and the EMP already happened. We might not have a real full idea of what an EMP is. So I'm going to read you a list of what's happened since Ion has arrived that I've just been figuring with Bob.
Before you do that, I want to say this.
Yeah.
You sent music for Tuesday. I didn't play it. You sent music for today. Not one of them was equal to my standards for some reason. I didn't like them. But I went back to Tuesday, and good. Michael was saved. I got a couple. So I want to thank you for what you said, but I'm telling you honestly, I rejected what you sent me today, the ones for Saturday. But the ones you did on Tuesday
That's all right,
were good.
Bob.
You never
I
know.
Enjoy,
Do
I
not go
Sydney.
With a formula. Do not say, well, Bob played Emo Leedy or whatever that name is last week. I'll send another Emo Leedy. Doesn't work. I've changed by the next week. You don't know what I'm going to like. So, you know, be loose about it. Still the best person is Kim out there in Pennsylvania. She's incredible what she finds. I don't know what